Many newspapers have called it the greatest club game ever. The strength of Munster rugby has always been the big boys up front.
I'm actually really, really excited for it.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the rugby channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Mercedes, not happy. Red Bull will be delighted. They have shared a brilliant championship battle, but the championship can only be won by one, and it's going Dutch in 2021. Max Verstappen, for the first time ever, is champion of the world.
There we are now, happy to say Rebecca Clancy, who is the motor racing correspondent for The Times and Sunday Times, is safely home once again. Rebecca, you're welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've had a quiet year.
Yeah, you could say that.
So where do we start with all this? I suppose the pertinent question at the moment is this over? How compelling is the Mercedes case?
Officially, no, it's not over. So we saw them lodge two protests last night against effectively the FIA, the sports governing body. They weren't happy about two things. One, that Verstappen seemingly overtook Hamilton under the safety car. But more importantly, they weren't happy about the timing that the safety car pulled in. Both protests were dismissed, and Mercedes have now put in an appeal against that dismissal. They've got 96 hours now, which is effectively, I think that brings us to about 7 o'clock on Thursday, to decide whether or not they're going to go ahead and push forward into the courts, or if they're just going to say, actually, do you know what? We're done. We accept the result. Which, to be honest, my feeling is that it will be the latter.
Okay, because they'll recognise they don't have much of a case, presumably.
Well, in Abu Dhabi, they brought out a QC for the very reason that every race so far has had so much controversy that they anticipated that that would be the case at the weekend. And as it were, the QC was a very busy man. And he's one of the best and brightest legal minds in the UK. He's worked for Mercedes before, way back in 2013, about a tyre test, and he was successful. And you would have to think, if he couldn't argue their case, then I'm not sure how much further it can go. Obviously, they can have more evidence, and this is what they're doing at the moment. They'll be compiling more data, more evidence, the precedents that have gone before. They will be pulling together absolutely everything. They will pore over that, and they will decide whether or not they feel they have a case, or whether or not they feel like they did enough on Sunday night. They made their argument, and actually, do you know what? Sometimes sport is just unfair.
So the issue of just the five cars between Hamilton and Verstappen unlapping themselves, as opposed to all of the cars unlapping themselves, that rule, as it reads in the rule book, looked pretty compelling. I was wondering, and I presume it must be the case, if the race director, there's some overarching clause whereby the race director, he or she, has just a degree of interpretation or room for manoeuvre, and therefore, you know, his and her word is final, and that would ultimately mean Mercedes will struggle here.
Well, that's exactly it. And here is a little bit where the confusion is. So their protest isn't actually about the five cars. That's kind of mixed into it, but it's more about the timing of the safety car. Yes. So as you say, there were eight cars who had been lapped who theoretically could have unlapped themselves. But Michael Massey, the race director, said only the five cars that sat between Hamilton and Verstappen could unlap themselves. Now, the key in the regulations, which are incredibly ambiguous, which is surprising, given that the sport is sort of dominated by so much data and milliseconds, the clause that is significant here is that it says any lap cars can unlap themselves, and the last lap car then determines when the safety car comes in. It doesn't say all lapped cars. So you could argue, and I'm certain that this is almost what Red Bull did, that any lap cars, therefore Michael Massey has the ability to decide which can be unlapping themselves and which can't. So it's really complicated. And then the next bit of the regulation says that once those cars have unlapped themselves, the safety car comes in the following lap. Now, if that had happened in Abu Dhabi, the safety car would have peeled in at the end of the race. But as it were, it peeled in at the end of the penultimate lap at the same time as those cars unlapped themselves. And that is Mercedes' argument. If the safety car had stayed out, as per their reading of the regulations, Hamilton would be champion. But because the FIA chose to call in that safety car a lap early, which they argue there is a regulation which overrides everything I've just said, that they are then fair game and they can do that, because they were desperate for there to be racing at the end. They were desperate for there to be one lap shootout. They did not want the championship to finish under a safety car. And that's where we've ended up.
Yeah. I was watching your Twitter feed last night and, I mean, you were on paparazzi duty. I mean, it must have been an extraordinary atmosphere where there's the outpouring of celebration in the Red Bull pit and the disappointment and the anger in Mercedes. And then next thing I see, Rebecca Clancy's tweeting a picture of Christian Horner wearing a Verstappen Champion 2021 t-shirt, by the way, being marched up to the stewards room and Mercedes up there with their QC. Then they seemed to all come out and it was hard from your, and I was solely working off your paparazzi pics. It was hard to deduce from their faces what had happened. And then suddenly it's Red Bull going back. They're returning to the stewards room. So amidst all that, I mean, if I'm Max Verstappen, I'm celebrating, but I'm also looking over my shoulder to see what's the word.
It was probably the most bizarre, not just end of race, end of championship, any end of sort of sporting event I've experienced. So the checkered flag fell and it was clear immediately to us that it wasn't over. And so straight down into the paddock to start talking to people, it started leaking that Mercedes were going to put in their protest. They had 30 minutes from the checkered flag to do that. As it were, that happened. Then Mercedes and Red Bull were summoned. They were summoned up together, which is really interesting. Three from each team went up, made their case. It was dragging on for a bit, went to about 40 minutes. They took a break, about half an hour, then they went back up again, and that was only about 15, 20 minutes. And then we all waited, and everything was very sort of quiet, hush-hush, apart from us media in the paddock trying to find out what was going on and all huddling in groups and chatting and trying to decipher what was happening. And then at 10:45 local time in Abu Dhabi, they all got summoned back. And this in itself is really bizarre because normally we all just get an email drop in our inbox and the teams get it about 30 seconds before we in the media get it. But they actually summoned up those same three from the teams, from the Mercedes and Red Bull, stood them in a room together and told them the outcome. So we're all standing outside of the FIA headquarters waiting for them to come out. Mercedes come out first, tight-lipped, don't say anything, heads down straight over to their hospitality.
Yeah.
And we thought Red Bull would emerge immediately, but it was a good sort of 5 minutes. And then eventually they came out. No, not even a glimmer of a smile. There was no smirk. There was nothing.
Right.
They walked straight past us. Horner said, "You'll get a result in a few minutes." And we all sort of took a sharp intake of breath, thinking, crikey, maybe we've read this wrong. Maybe actually they are going to take the championship off him, or we don't know what's going on.
Mm.
And by the time Christian Horner had walked the 150 metres or so to the hospitality from the FIA, the news dropped in our inboxes that Max was champion. And that was it. And the music rang out. It was We Are the Champions blaring out from the Red Bull garage. Max Verstappen emerged from hospitality. He made the sort of 50 metres, if that, walk across the paddock to go and see his team with his dad's arm around him. And Christian Horner was there. And it was bizarre. It was sort of 4 hours of pent-up energy just released into the paddock. It was quite something.
What is the Toto Wolff-Christian Horner relationship?
Well, if you ask Christian Horner that question, he says, "What relationship?" So perhaps that tells you everything you need to know.
Fair enough.
They're very different people. They operate very differently. You know, we see Christian Horner sitting on the pit wall every race. We see Toto Wolff back in the garage, sort of letting his, as he says, his pit wall get on with it. They have clashed multiple times. I mean, as tense as it was on track, it was just as brutal off it as well. Plenty of war of words. They've called each other pantomime dames and all sorts this year. They've accused each other of, well, effectively, Horner's accused Wolff of cheating. There was this whole debacle around Mercedes' rear wing in Brazil particularly. It's not been pretty. It's not been pleasant. It was nice to see them shake hands, actually, on Thursday in their press conference ahead of the weekend. Toto Wolff has actually texted Max Verstappen last night to say congratulations, well-deserved championship. Horner and Wolff, they congratulated each other in the paddock afterwards. So it seems to have ended far more cordially than certainly the last few months of their relationship.
Hamilton, I think to his credit, has not destroyed the Verstappen moment and was as magnanimous as you could hope for in the circumstances.
Yeah, he displayed great humility in his post-race interview. The only one he really did, he spoke to Jenson Button as soon as he got out of the car, said all the right things, and to be honest, he's not really been seen since.
Right.
He didn't do our press conference that he was supposed to do. He stayed in the paddock for a while. He was hanging around, but he was gone by the time the final verdict dropped after 4 hours, and you'd probably suspect it was kind of clear which way it was going. So he's getting his knighthood on Wednesday, so he will be in Windsor. We know that. That was confirmed today.
Nice.
And then on Thursday night, which is when we need to have a champion by all of the FIA regulations, which is why this appeal only goes to 7 o'clock on Thursday night, because that's when the gala starts. He, under the sporting regulations, Hamilton is due to be there as the second place driver. The top three all have to go. And when I asked Mercedes on Sunday night if he would be attending, they laughed. So I'm not sure if he will be there or not. We've not had any confirmation. Toto Wolff hasn't been seen, unless, of course, you've seen him on Twitter dancing last night. But other than that, he's not made any other appearance. So, yes, we await to hear really more from them, because I can only imagine how gutted Hamilton will be.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. So what's really jumping out to me, and this conversation hijacked our news round before you joined us. There are a bunch of us, I suppose, reacquainting ourselves with Formula One, and that's been the nature of the season in many ways. And there are a bunch of text messages in, you know, saying things like the Formula One ruling was the football equivalent of a team being 5-0 up, but then the referee saying next goal wins. I think people understand the technicalities of the rule book, but almost taking a step back from that, instinctively they feel there's something wrong where you can have a 13-second lead built up across 58 laps and it's just cut because of pure chance and safety car comes out and they're all bunched together and Verstappen's within striking distance again. Just, you know, away from the specifics of yesterday as a kind of broader point, I was wondering, probably foolishly, Rebecca, so bear with me, I was wondering why there can't be a system implemented whereby safety car comes out and the gaps between the cars remain intact. Now, obviously, they'll have to bunch at a certain point, but I don't know, are we talking staggered starts or add the time on afterwards? Maybe that's a bit impractical. But regardless of the nuts and bolts of how they would do it, I'm just talking more philosophically here. I think a lot of people watched it and said, well, hang on, your man built up a 13-second lead and because some other dude crashed, it's obliterated. That doesn't feel right.
But that is Formula One, and to be honest, that wasn't even for F1 race fans, for those of us in the media watching, for people who've been watching F1 for years, that wasn't actually the contentious issue because...
Oh, no, I get that. For years and years,
you get your lead wiped out when the safety car comes out. That's pretty normal. They do have other options. The FIA do have other options in these circumstances. They can send out a virtual safety car, which just means all the cars have to reduce their speed by 40%. And therefore, the gap stays the same because they're all travelling at the same speed. And when they go racing again, they all go at the same speed.
Right.
There was an alternative to the FIA. They could have red flagged the race, which means all of the cars can return to the pit, the race is stopped. And during that, they can all change their tyres. So it's a bit more fair.
Right.
And then they could have just done what they had initially decided to do, which was to leave those 5-lap cars in place between them. And that was kind of effectively keeping Hamilton's 13-second lead in place, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, yeah.
So they had plenty of options. I mean, they absolutely picked the worst one. But yes, it was a shame because it was. I've spent 12 days in the Middle East, so I've kind of I've not been so aware of how big it became here. And I sort of landed back this morning, and I'm very aware of how much it's blown up over here. And it's a shame that people were watching that race, that culmination of just what has been an absolutely wonderful season, and it was confusing and it didn't really make sense to people. And that's a shame because, well, Formula One can be that more often than not at times. It is a brilliant sport, but there are elements which are definitely not user-friendly.
Yeah, I guess there's no such thing as bad publicity. You know, when Piers Morgan is giving out about it, things are probably, you know, good for the sport. Listen, thanks so much, Rebecca. Really appreciate your time. I'm sure you're absolutely wrecked. So thanks a million for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Rebecca Clancy there, who's the motor racing correspondent for The Times and The Sunday Times.